Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Welcome to the jungle. An amazing Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I feel like today's going to be a big day. I feel like it's going to be a big day because it's hump day of Smack Off Week. It's all coming right down to it. We've been building up to it. There is so much energy. There is so much momentum. There is so much hype. Something happens every single day right now as we get closer and closer to the biggest day of the year, the Smack Off. And I don't know why Wednesday of Smack Off Week would be any different. I feel like it's going to be a great day. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Get in, jump in right now. The first interview is at 40 past hour number one. So that means the next segment is wide open. Use it. I've got lots of thoughts on what happened last night in basketball, in baseball, in the NFL. But you should get in right now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up at 40 past, SI legal analyst Michael McCann. There's always something to talk to him about. Today is no different. Top of hour number two, Mike Freeman, good friend of the program, senior NFL columnist for Bleacher Report. Raider fan, Raider quarterback Derek Carr, coming up in our last segment. Northing Vance Mack. Where's Raider Mike for Raider quarterback Derek Carr?
And you know,
Raider Mike does not even need Derek Carr to be on this show. In fact, instead of interviewing Derek Carr, I can interview Raider Mike. And you know, Raider football, a topic in the third hour. I would imagine long before that, a topic on the program will be the program itself. There have been some wacky things going on this week in the lead up to the Smack Off. So, get yourself in. It's not too late to get that golden ticket. You sure as hell have to know by now, it's not too late to lose a golden ticket. That's been happening quite a bit. The only thing better than giving is ripping away. All right, all of that still ahead. In the meantime, let me get you started with a few things. Just when you thought that the MLB All-Star Game was going to be the big topic of the day, or maybe the trade of Manny Machado, just when you thought it was safe to go to sleep, my man Adrian Wojnarowski does what Adrian Wojnarowski does. He drops a bomb. 4:23 a.m. Eastern. Quote, Toronto is close to a deal to acquire Spurs All-Star Kawhi Leonard. League sources tell at Chris B. Haynes and me. Trade package includes DeMar DeRozan. League sources tell ESPN. End quote. Bam! The NBA never sleeps. And Woj never sleeps. This is why the NBA offseason is one of the best seasons there is. Because there's always action. There is always drama. And right now you have two of the best players in the game being traded for one another in the middle of the night. In the middle of the week. In the middle of July. Can I get a hell yes?
Hell yes!
Thanks, Alvin. According to Woj, the deal is this. Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green for DeMar DeRozan, Jacob Poeltl, and a protected 2019 first-round pick. And if you really want to get into the weeds on this, the first-round pick is a protected 1 through 20 selection. After 1 year, it becomes 2 second-round picks. But that's just the headline, because there's a hell of a lot to unpack right here. First, is Kawhi healthy? Obviously, Toronto is not signing off on that deal if they don't think that he is, or if they believe that their medical staff can't get him back to where he was. So that's point number one. Is this guy healthy? They must think so, or they must think they can get him to that point. And then there's this tweet from Chris Haynes. Quote, Kawhi Leonard has no desire to play in Toronto. League source tells ESPN. Uh-oh! Listen, one thing to say that this guy's not fired up about playing north of the border. But, quote, no desire to play in Toronto is a kick in the junk to Raptors fans. Because now you're getting a guy who's coming off a significant injury, who's a mystery to begin with, and everything about this guy in the past year has been really, really weird. And reportedly, he has already decided he does not want to play in your city. Fantastic. And then based on how he handled last season with San Antonio, you almost have to wonder if, in fact, the guy will even show up. And no, I don't want to hear about how it would cost him if he doesn't show, because the guy could have already had the Supermax with the Spurs and already left that on the table, reportedly. And then you've got the DeMar DeRozan side of the equation. According to Haynes, DeRozan met with Raptors officials in Las Vegas and received assurances that he would not be dealt. And now he's been dealt. There's a word for that. Awkward? Awkward. O-C-K. Wood. O-C-K-W-O-O-D. Awkward? Awkward. In fact, DeRozan posted an Instagram story this morning that included, quote, be told one thing and the outcome another. Can't trust him. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quick for a little bit of nothing. Soon you'll understand. Don't disturb. End quote. Awkward? In other words, awkward. You just traded. Check this. You just traded a guy who never wanted to leave. Never wanted to leave Toronto for somebody who apparently does not want to come to Toronto. That's a huge swing. That's an even bigger gamble. That's an all-time gamble by Masai Ujiri. A franchise that has struggled in the past to get free agents just traded away an all-star and an Olympian who wanted to stay there in the worst way, and they did it to get a guy who has no interest in being there. That said, I see Masai Ujiri working. He knows it's a risk, but he also knows that the roster, as it's currently constructed, was really good, but not good enough, especially when it mattered most in the postseason. Masai is not interested in having a good team. He wants a great team, and this is a chance to get an MVP candidate. Those chances do not come around very often, so he pulled the trigger. I couldn't respect it more. I love it. I love it. Major stones to make a deal like that. He knows the risk, but he also has a ton of confidence in his organization that they can pull off what OKC did with Paul George. That when Kawhi gets a chance to experience that crowd, to feel the six, to embrace the north, to see the fans in Jurassic Park, that he's going to want to stay and he's going to want to re-sign. Then again, Kawhi is a very different dude, right? Kawhi could stick to his guns and leave as soon as he can, and then make life miserable before then. This is the risk. And the fact that Masai is willing to take that risk, that gamble, shows that he has got a big brass set. I respect it. And then, of course, next question is, who won the trade? Who won the trade? I've got your answer. Team content. Team content is the winner. In terms of which NBA team won, you know what, check back with me in a year. If the Raptors convince Kawhi to stay and he's still the player he once was or near it, then they won the trade. If he walks, they lost the trade. I mean, from a Spurs standpoint, generally I would say it's nearly impossible to win a trade when you trade an MVP candidate in his prime. But given that that guy had a gun to their head, made it clear that he did not want to be there, and then you have all the other unknowns, they did get an established all-star in return. Let's face it. They were never going to get what they wanted for this guy. Teams are leery to part with assets for a guy who might be nothing more than a one-year rental, who might not be the player he once was, and a guy who, frankly, you can't trust. So the Spurs end up with an established all-star and an Olympian for an MVP candidate who wanted out. That's not that bad. And with DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, the mid-range game in San Antonio is going to be legendary, and I know that's going to make Aaron Rodgers very happy. One more angle here. Where does that leave the Lakers? Should the Lakers have not learned from the Paul George situation? Should they not have jumped in on this to lock up Kawhi and make sure that he does go there? Or are they happy to see him going somewhere where they know he's not going to want to be and that they can sign as a free agent in a year? I mean, sure, there are other options in that 2019 free agent class, but if Kawhi re-signs with Toronto, the year after PG signed with OKC, and he plays well, LA is going to look pretty stupid. Or are they also running the risk, playing the numbers? We'll see. Too soon to tell where the Lakers come out. But if Kawhi stays in Toronto and he plays well, the Lakers are going to look pretty stupid unless they get somebody next year. But what if they get shut out? Bottom line is this. We're really not going to know who won this deal until a year from right now. If you want to declare a winner right now, you go right ahead. But there isn't one. Other than all the hot takers spewing all the lava, saying they all know how this is going to shake out, because in reality, nobody does. Not yet. As an example, go back a year. OKC won that trade with Indiana when they got Paul George for what appeared to be spare parts. Indiana was getting killed for making that deal. But then Vic Oladipo blows up as an all-star. Domantas Sabonis averages 12-8, and suddenly OKC looks like they got destroyed in that deal, where they gave up too much to get a guy who was only going to sign with the Lakers in a few months. And then it looked like they lost that deal until PG re-signed, and then that thing swings back and forth a few months later. So, the long and the short of it is, this trade is not the end, it's only the beginning. No one knows Jack. I can only say this, Masai Ujiri has a brass set. The Spurs, realistically, were not going to get any more for that guy than they did, so they did all right. It's too soon to say whether or not it's bad for the Lakers. But if Kawhi stays in Toronto and he's still a top five guy, the Lakers will look pretty dumb, especially if nobody in 2019 signs with them. A lot, like I said, a lot to unpack. A lot to unpack. And if you're Kawhi, you got to wonder about Kawhi, right? They probably would have offered him that Supermax without knowing whether or not he was going to be the same guy that he was. And now he's in Toronto. Kawhi! Not L.A. Not L.A. Not with the Lakers. Not even L.A. with the Clippers. Not even Philadelphia with a couple of studs. Toronto. I love Toronto. I love Masai. I think they have a lot to offer. But I don't think that's where he wants to be. Not according to Chris Haynes in that tweet. We could do 3 hours on this. We could do 6 hours on this. We could do 6 weeks on this. Where'd he come out? 1-800-636-8686. I also tweeted, I know one guy who loves that trade. I know the one guy who loves that trade. Josh Hader. Hader is not going to be in the open the way he would have been ordinarily. But he's not getting over either. And what an unbelievable story that is. The hate, the vitriol, the thing this guy thumbed out. Yeah, I was only 17. We all do dumb things. Right. We all do dumb things. But not homophobic things. Not racist things, not sexist things. I'll get into all that, too. And the All-Star Game. There was a baseball game, right, last night. There was an All-Star Game last night. That really happened, right, last night. How about the commissioner running Mike Trout under the bus? If Mike Trout wants to be bigger, Mike Trout needs to help us? Wow. Try and get to that, too. 1-800-636-8686. And believe me, as hot as these topics are, still nothing is hotter than the smack-off. It is Wednesday. I have a smack-off profile. Today's profile, no need to hold this. I'm just going to say it off the top. Mike in Indy. Where is Mikey? DLC. Is this guy going to show up or not? He has not since the last smack-off. Where the hell is Mike? What is Mike doing? Is Mike coming or not? Either way, I have no idea. Either way, I've got a profile of Mike coming up later on. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know how to get to me via email. Step it up. Let's get it. It's Michael McCann coming up at 40 past. Getting max performance out of anything depends on what you put into it. If you want to achieve maximum performance at work, you put in the extra effort. When you want max performance from your kids, you put in the extra time, you break out all your best parenting tools. But when you want maximum performance from your car, you drop in Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. You see, modern engines are smaller and more powerful, and they operate at higher pressures than ever before. Therefore, you need the right oil. You need your oil to be strong and stay strong. That's why you need Castrol Edge, because it's formulated with fluid titanium technology. It helps to reduce friction. It helps to maximize your engine's performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That's not me pulling that out of my backside. Kurt Orban proved it in a test in the 5W30 VisGrade. If Orban says it, it is so. Kurt Orban, put it in your vehicle today. Castrol Edge. It's in my car. It should be in your car. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got one phone line open. They're jamming up, though. You want to get in. 1-800-636-8686. Let's get into the trade. You know, I'd love to be that guy who's going to spew the hot take. Oh, I know right now. I know who won. I know who lost. I know what it's all about, but nobody does. Nobody does. I mean, I'd love to be that guy to throw a bunch of crap against the wall to see what sticks. Look at me. Look at me. Hot take city. Hot take city, USA. We're not going to know. We're not going to know for a year. I can tell you what I think about it right now. And there are some definitives. But you can't come in here and say to me, he won, he lost, they won, they lost. We don't know. But we can talk, and we can't react to it. Zipa. Quick spelling bee, Zipa. Your word is Zipa. Spell it. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Happy Z spelled backwards. If you go to bed with a Zipa, you wake up with happy Z's. Did you know that one night, a bad sleep can ruin your entire day? Are you planning a summer vacay? You do not want to ruin that entire vacation by snoring all night long. Vacations are supposed to be a time for rest and relaxation. So how do you expect to get any rest if you're snoring all night long, or the person next to you is snoring all night long? You need to get a Zipa before you take that vacation, because snoring is still not sleeping. So if you or somebody you know snores, go to Zipa.com. Zipa is guaranteed to stop snoring. You've got nothing to lose. If you're not happy for any reason at all, just return it for a full refund. You need another reason to buy a Zipa. Here it is. Go to Zipa.com. Use the promo code Rome. You'll get free shipping for your Zipa. Snoring is rude, it's disrespectful, it's offensive. Don't say to me, it's not my fault, I don't even know I'm doing it. You know you're doing it. The person next to you knows you're doing it. You can fix it. Get a Zipa, go to Zipa.com, use the promo code Rome, free shipping, and ensure that you have a great night of sleep, and even more importantly, a great summer. 1-800-636-8686. All right, I've got lots of takes, but I've got good phone calls, too. Let's go to the phones. It is Smack-Off week. I said already that I'm going to profile Mike and Indy later on. Big question about Mike and Indy. Is this guy going to show up on Friday? I have no idea. I would say the same thing about this guy every single year. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Midweek, San Antonio. Had a feeling I might hear from him today after that trade. Gino in San Antonio. What's up, G? Good morning.
Hey, Romy. Man, you know, quickly on the Spurs trade, I sure hate to see a classy, important Spur get traded away, but DeRozan for Danny Green and some team trash, dude, that's not bad. As much as I hate to see a quality guy like Green leave, you know, we got the best we could. And while I'm not calling into the smack off this year, you know, the thing is, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I try to be cool like these guys, you know, try to come up with some clever, fictitious crew name like De La Creme has, maybe the Human Geno Project, but I just can't get into it. So I'm just going to sit back and appreciate all the amazing talent this Friday. Like, for example, those Canadian boys. Man, so amazing, those guys. I do not understand why people hate on them. They're awesome and smart. Think about what these McKenzie bros have done. Most people try to come up with some lame shtick, but not Geddy Lee and Neil Peart here. They just ripped off Jeff and Richmond's stick. Man, that is genius. why try to reinvent the wheel when you can just turn down the redneckedness and dial up the wannabe Frenchiness? Talk about your pipes, your luxury sled, your crazy dime rent-a-hottie. That is so cool. And wow, did I hear that you guys actually met Rich Ackerman? Wow, that is so cool. Man, I know exactly how it feels to meet a real-life A-lister like that, too, because last year I was in a Taco Bell, and one of the Spurs ball boys walked right in. Couldn't believe it. So good for you guys. And taking a picture with that dime show, that's also a good call. I took a picture one time in front of the Alamo, told everybody it was my house. Genius. Speaking of Canada, way to go, Kawit. You just got dealt to Toronto. You want to play for a winner? Awesome. You know how many great Canadian NBA teams there have ever been? The same amount as the great Canadian smack-off callers this Friday. None. I'm glad you got sent to America's Attic, because basically right now in San Antonio, you're the Alamo, and everybody in San Antonio is Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm sure with your winning personality and your loquacious nature, and now that everybody has to have a passport just to see you, the endorsement deals are just going to be rolling in. Dude, you are about as relevant as Leffen Laguna without a helicopter and a hall pass. Boring. And now you say you want to show up for Pop's Team USA minicamp this summer? That is going to be about as awkward as Rich and Copyright Hill's call yesterday. And while I won't be participating this Friday, I do hope my fellow Texan, Bodie, and everybody within 30 miles of here is shaped like a pearland. I hope you kill it, dude. I know that due to your proximity to Houston, you're a big James Harden fan. And hey, Bodie, I think you and the beard have a lot in common. I mean, you both choke when the lights are brightest. So good luck, bro. And lastly, to Brad, the people's champ, I know Rome said that basically you sabotaged your call last year because you knew you couldn't wire the field since you couldn't respond to the other callers. But, dude, that's not true. Like, you don't know right now what half the field's going to say. And Jeff and Richmond, all three of them, they're basically going to talk about their body, their bank, and their babes. Mikey De La Croix is going to declare the same things he always declares. And you know VIC, once again, is going to dumpster dive into his vault of gangster movie references, and in a pseudo-Kafka-esque moment, will attempt to threaten the lives of everybody listening using only a script. So basically, Brad, what I'm saying is, you could call in today and respond to all their calls right now. So let me be the first to congratulate you, Brad, on your 2018 SmackOff Championship, because basically you win anytime you actually want to. Later, Rome.
Rack him. I'll tell you what, there are not going to be very many calls on Friday better than that call, and he's not calling on Friday. You find one other radio show in this country or any other country that's got a call like that or calls like this. It is smack off week. This is exactly why I do this every single year, and I've done this now 24 years in a row, and why there will be a 25th year. Gino in San Antonio. He's not even calling on Friday. Friday's for the best of the best. The best calls of the year happen on that day, and that happened on a Wednesday prior to the Friday, and he's not calling. That call probably hits the podium come Friday, I would think. Now, I might be wrong. Let's see how it goes on Friday. But I would think that I can speak on most other smack-offs. That's a top five call in any other smack-off. And he did that on the Wednesday prior to the smack-off and took a run at the Canadians. Ty, what's up? Matthew, what's going on? He said, we know what Jeff and Richmond's going to sound like, all three of them. Tyler, Matt, and Jeff. That's another question I have. Jeff and Richmond, I was pumped to hear him again. He hadn't called in several years, and then all of a sudden shows up and says, I'll be there, Rome. I'm coming back to take what is rightfully mine. I wonder if the guy's going to sound exactly the way he sounded when he last won, back in 02, I believe. Or if he's going to update his game. Or if the 2.0s in Canada are the new Jeff in Richmond. Gino, getting us started. Alan in Raleigh tweets, Gino's call declining his invite to the smack-off was better than any call that Jeff in Richmond has ever made. All right, so you're talking about a guy, though, who won the smack-off. You're saying it's better than any call he's ever made, but he won the smack-off. Mike in Indy is going to be my profile later on today. At Sharky tweets, I can't wait for the Mike in Indy profile. He's an amazing talent. Signed, the Kardashians, Pitbull, DJ Khaled, and Adam Hawk. It's going down in the desert not too long ago. Pitbull is playing down in the desert. I can't remember which. Fantasy Springs, maybe? Or Morongo? I don't remember. I don't know, but he's down there. Let's see. At guitar player, CR tweets, pro tip for Alvin DeLauro. Just put Chael Sonnen drops over some Eminem, and your Mike and Indy tribute is complete. You're welcome. Try that, Alvin. I mean, that's not really what I was going to do, but okay. In terms of the trade itself, very quickly, some reaction. Rome, Kawhi for DeRozan is not a lateral move. Regards, cats who wake up from a nap in order to go take another nap. Stephen PHX, War Rome, bringing in some cold ones for the XRTI Friday morning. Now we got to be sharp for the show. After the show, we can have some cold ones. They're always colder after a great smack-off. Yeah! Rome, we look forward to Kawhi spending a year in Canada to use their health care to get healthy for us after his Raptor stop. Sign the Lakers. John in Huntington Beach, War Magic Johnson, king of L.A. What, dude, were you the one who hit that mural with the paint? More on that. Quick timeout. Michael McCann joins me. How about Gino coming in? Getting it started. Getting it started by not RSVPing. Getting it started by saying, I'm not going to be there on Friday. I'm just going to lay out and listen to all this great talent. Great talent, including insert a bunch of guys that he lit on fire. Gino doing Gino things. Good job, Gino. Thanks for starting this thing for me. It's got to be more where that came from. Has to be more from where that came from. Time now for a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know the Smack-Off's Friday, and you know that because Gino just came in and smashed anybody who's got any chance of winning it. Just be sure you listen to see how it goes. And know this is brought to you by the flooring experts, my pals at Lumber Liquidators. Not only have they been a tremendous sponsor of this program for years, I know they are saving you clones a ton of money on the best selection of hardwood floors anywhere. It's time to upgrade your floors. Stop into your neighborhood Lumber Liquidators today. They are sponsoring the 24th annual Smack Off. As promised, we're joined right now by a legal analyst for Sports Illustrated, the associate dean of the UNH School of Law, the editor of the Oxford University Handbook of American Sports Law, the author of Court Justice, the inside story of my battle against the NCAA with Ed O'Bannon. It's now available in pretty much wherever you can find that sort of thing. You do not want to miss that. Michael McCann is my guest. Michael, so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back on.
Always good to have you, Michael. Thanks so much. Now, it's been just over a week since the appearance of the now deleted Instagram post that connected LeSean McCoy to an alleged home invasion, domestic violence, child abuse, animal abuse, and the use of illegal performance-enhancing drugs. So, Michael, let me start right there. From a legal standpoint, what was your reaction when you first saw that post?
Well, when I saw that post, obviously the allegations are very severe. They, if true, they would suggest that he was involved either directly or indirectly in a home invasion or an assault. Now, whether it's a home invasion if you own the home is a separate issue, but clearly there would be the possibility of conspiracy or assault charges. And then the other issues that you mentioned, animal abuse, performance-enhancing drugs, things like that. Now, there are all sorts of reasons to be skeptical or at least cautious with claims like that. We don't know if law enforcement has verified those claims. We don't know in some cases when they would have occurred if they occurred at all, whether they left behind evidence. So it was a fluid story and one where caution is probably the best first move because it's a story that can really spiral out of control fast.
All right, so it was fluid. And then as that story, Michael, unfolded, I should say, the picture that started to emerge was one of a home invasion that took place in a property that appears to be owned by McCoy. And according to Delicia Cordon's attorney, the invader attacked McCoy's estranged girlfriend, demanded jewelry that McCoy had previously requested back. If, in fact, that's true, what does that tell you?
Well, it's certainly suspicious, right? The fact that these are items, if this turns out to be the case, that these are specific items that he wanted before that she wouldn't give up, and then an assailant enters the home and asks for those exact same items, that is at a minimum a source of suspicion for law enforcement. But it doesn't prove that he did it. It doesn't prove that he orchestrated it. And at that point, the law enforcement will ask him to be interviewed. They'll ask him for his text messages. They'll ask him for emails. They'll want any kind of potential evidence. They'll also look for the assailant. I mean, this is, if it wasn't him, and let's assume it wasn't, if it was some other guy, well, if that guy is caught, law enforcement's going to push really hard on him to inquire if, in fact, he was commissioned to do this act. So that person's going to be pretty critical. But right now, unless there's evidence tying him to the actual act, I don't think law enforcement will charge him.
Michael McCann joining us. All right, Michael, what about McCoy? He issued an initial statement that read in part, and I quote, "The totally baseless and offensive claims made against me are completely false. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months," end quote. What do you make of that statement and how he's handled the entire situation?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he defines direct contact. Does direct contact mean he hasn't met in person with someone? Does it mean he hasn't sent them a text, an email? Direct is sort of an ambiguous word, and I'm sure the prosecutors and law enforcement will ask him to clarify what he means by direct. But it does imply, at least, that he hasn't had any kind of direct contact, if we're assuming that to mean both in person and electronic, with her prior to this incident occurring. It distances him from the act, but it doesn't exonerate him, because you could pay somebody to do a crime and not have direct contact with the person who's victimized. So it doesn't clear him, but it does help to distance him from the act.
Michael McCann, my guest. All right, so he was reportedly in Florida at the time of the incident, but that does not rule out the possibility, as you point out, that he was somehow connected to it. Leaving aside the allegations of child abuse, animal abuse, and steroid use, if McCoy was involved in this home invasion, what kind of charges could he be looking at?
He'd be looking at some really serious charges, Jim. He'd be looking at assault. He'd be looking at conspiracy, maybe attempted murder, depending upon the circumstances of the act. He could also be charged with home invasion, although there's an open-ended question as to whether or not it's a home invasion. If you own the home, can you pay somebody to invade it? Well, probably not, but if you're not currently occupying it and you know someone else is, maybe it is a home invasion. So that's another potential charge. But whatever he's charged with, they would be serious felonies.
Michael, is there any possibility at all that this was all a setup and McCoy is actually the victim here?
Yeah, I think we have to be open to any kind of possibility along those lines. Let's play out the facts. Okay, let's say the assailant requested specific items that McCoy had asked from her before. Well, you could argue that suggests it's him, or the assailant knew that he asked for those items, maybe because he mentioned it to other people. And at that point, the assailant could help to sort of connect him unfairly and unlawfully to the crime. So, yeah, I think it's possible it's a setup. It's possible it was a criminal act. There are a lot of possibilities here.
All right, then. Michael McCann joining us. If you were the NFL, how would you be handling this situation?
I would be really cautious if I were the NFL, because if they get this wrong, he could potentially bring a lawsuit for defamation. I think the league has to be really careful until law enforcement has made definitive statements about its intentions in terms of how they're going to handle it. Will they pursue charges against McCoy? Will they clear McCoy? Will they just sort of leave it open-ended until they can identify the person that actually broke in? So my instinct is the NFL would be pretty wise to just say, we're not going to take any actions against him. Obviously, a person was brutalized, and we feel awful about it, but unless there's evidence that connects that act to an NFL player, it wouldn't be appropriate for the league to take action.
Well, then, in terms of law enforcement, how do you expect law enforcement to proceed with the case? What kind of a time frame might we be looking at?
I think we're looking at, I mean, you know, we're not there, so it's always hard to know, but I think we're looking at weeks, maybe. I think they're going to want to figure out who broke into the home, if in fact it was a home invasion. They'll also look to see if McCoy's willing to turn over evidence. You know, he's hired a criminal defense lawyer. They're going to want him to cooperate, and if he doesn't have to cooperate because he hasn't been charged, but if he doesn't cooperate, that will elevate their suspicions.
Legal analyst Michael McCann joining me for another few moments. And before I let you go, amidst everything else that's going on, late last week there was also the announcement that five former Louisville basketball players who were members of the 2013 team that was stripped of a national title were filing a lawsuit against the NCAA. What are they seeking, and what are the grounds for it?
Yeah, so Luke Hancock and four other former players are arguing that they were put in a false light when the NCAA punished Louisville for the sex for play scandal involving prostitutes. These players say, look, we're not denying that stuff happened, but we had nothing to do with it. And by punishing the whole program, you've really looped us into a scandal that we have no involvement in, and that has tarnished us. It's tarnished us in terms of our records have been vacated, and also now people associate us with this really bad, immoral act that, again, we had nothing to do with. So their argument is primarily false light. They're saying they've been unlawfully looped into this. They've also argued that the NCAA has broken its fiduciary obligations to student-athletes. Now, the flip side is the NCAA is going to say, okay, that's fine, but you know as a player we punish whole programs, and that's part of the deal. It's our right under our membership agreement with schools. And also it's not uncommon to have whole teams punished. We know that Russia was punished in the Olympics because of a doping scandal. There were athletes that had nothing to do with it, but they lost their eligibility to compete for their country. So it's a way of deterring conduct, right? If you say the whole team gets punished, the hope is that that will encourage people that know about wrongdoing to come forward before it happens.
All right, so I see both sides of that. How likely is it that these players will be successful in this particular case?
I think they have a shot, but I think it's a hard argument because the NCAA is so insulated in terms of its agreements with member schools that they have this right to punish. But I do think the players have maybe a chance. It's been brought in a state court, so the judge will presumably be elected. The jurors will be local. And also the idea that you have innocent players could have some traction. It's clear that not all of the players were part of that prostitute scandal. And, you know, I think anybody could empathize and say they don't want to be looped into something like that.
Right. So finally, if the players were to win that lawsuit, Michael, what kind of implications could that have going forward?
Well, I think it would potentially prevent the NCAA from its normal approach of punishing entire programs. I think it would put the NCAA in a position where if it's going to punish people for misconduct, it's going to have to identify who those people are. So the players that actually partook in the conduct, the coaches that actually commissioned it or acquiesced to it. So it would limit potentially the NCAA's ability to punish entire programs. It could also prevent the NCAA from vacating records, which we know has been a controversial move by the NCAA.
Michael McCann is the author of Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA with Ed O'Bannon. That book is available right now. Also an SI legal analyst. Michael, thanks so much for your time. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great day. Michael McCann, my guest. All right, coming to the end of hour number one. Very good hour number one. If you're joining us late, we talked about the trade. Kawhi Leonard not going to L.A., not going to the Lakers, not going to the Clippers, not going to the Sixers. He goes to Toronto. The Spurs send him to Toronto, and there was already at least one report saying that he's got no desire to play in Toronto. So again, if you're the Raptors, you trade a guy who absolutely wants to be in Toronto, and that's not the case for a lot of All-Stars and Olympians, but it was the case with DeMar DeRozan. The guy wanted to be there. The guy wanted to stay there. They trade somebody, an Olympian and an All-Star, who absolutely wants to be there for another All-Star Olympian who does not want to be there. So what do you make of that trade? Masai Ujiri, he's got a big brass set. He's betting on himself. He's betting on the organization. He's betting on the Six. He's betting on the fans. He's betting on that crib. He's betting on the experience that they could talk him into staying the way OKC did PG. It's a big gamble. It's a big, big, big swing. However, I'm going to say this about Masai, and I'm a big Masai fan. What they were doing was not working. They were good in the regular season, but they were not good when it mattered most. He had to change something up. He's taking a shot. Drew in West LA tweets, I bet Gino's wife avoids asking Gino how his day was because he will talk endlessly. Notice he went with a self-edit. He got it done. Last time he called, he got jawsed. He got sharked. This time he went with a self-edit. He got it all in. He got that in under 3 minutes. One of the guys he took a run at was Tyler. Needless to say, Tyler is already in to respond, this time via email. Romy, I want to congratulate Gino on being the first guy to come after the Canadians without getting run. That being said, Gino forgot that my smack comes fully equipped with an IV of evidence to back it up. And with each drop, I drive you fat-ass fools into an even faster tailspin. Way to come in and try to act like you're too good for Friday. Then proceed to go into a smack-off-worthy call. You're just a big old baby back bitch like Kawhi, holding out with a phony-ass excuse when you're clearly ready to show up. By the way, Gino, the picks are legit. Cry about it. Tyler in Edmonton. And finally, Jim, for the record, Pitbull was playing in Cabazon at that greasy spoon with the two rusted-out dinosaurs. Afterwards, he will be at the outlet mall with all the local necks signing CDs. You know the mall. It's the one with a barn that sells almonds and beef jerky out front. Best Jim in Temecula. I know that one. I know that mall, Jim. Temecula. Hey, man, I just went to the desert not too long ago, and I saw the billboard. Somebody mentioned Pitbull, and I said, yeah, I saw that guy. Well, I saw the billboard. I didn't see the guy. When we come back, Mike Freeman is going to kick off hour number two. It's big smack-off week. One of the biggest lead-ups to a smack-off of any week we've ever had. Can we keep this thing going? Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Mike Freeman next. Your phone call is right after that.